This shir is dedicated to the Ilui Nishmas Chaim Yisachar Ben Yechiel Zeidel-Dov. As I said last week, it'll take time just to get used to this new phrase, which causes us deepest sorrow, profound sadness. Hashem Nosan v'Hashem Lokach Yehi Shem Hashem Avoyroch. I hope Chaim's family is finding the koiches, the strength that Kodesh Baruch Hu should give them to cope with this new reality. Chaim should be a Melech Yosher for his wonderful family, his parents, siblings, wife and children, and all those that loved him so dearly. Im b'chukosai telechu shetiu amelem b'toira. The Torah has many facets. Aruchu me'eretz mido, orachovo, meni yam. And the topic we will be discussing today is a very fascinating topic, and it is something very basic in halacha, and especially in darkei hapsak. And that is the significance, the weight that the Zohar and other Sifrei Kabbalah have in halacha, and the general relationship between Kabbalah and halacha. This is the topic we will be discussing today. And I want to emphasize at the outset of this shiur, one could deal with this topic for a year. There are so many sources and it's so complex, but we will do our best. I will try to summarize and bring the more relevant sources, the more significant ones, and hoping that when finishing this year today, we will all have somewhat more clarity in this very fundamental sugya. So the Mishnah Brura in Siman Chof Hei Sifkot Mem Beis quotes the Knesset Sagdala trying to give some kolim, some basic rules and guidelines how we deal with Kabbalah and Halacha and what happens when they seem to contradict each other. So the kolim that we find in the Mishnah Brura, quoting the Knesset Sagdala, who was one of the great halachic authorities 400 years ago, are manifold. Number one, when Kabbalah contradicts halacha, halacha has the upper hand. The Gemara overrides the Zohar, the Poskim override the Mikubalim. When Kabbalah adds on to halacha, well, if it's a chumrah, we should adopt that chumrah, because it's not a contradiction, but rather a tosefes, a supplement, an addition to halacha. When there's a machlokes in poskim, and I want to emphasize, we're dealing with a machlokes that doesn't have a hachra. If there's a machlokes in poskim, then halacha should have the strength to be machriya. So when major poskim dispute one another and there is no clear-cut decision, then the Kabbalah should be what determines whether the halacha is kepoisik aleph or kepoisik beis. That is the basic approach of the Mishnah Brura, and those are the rules that he quotes from the Knesset Sagdala. What I want to emphasize is that these rules aren't ironclad, and some achroinim have different feelings on this issue. In Shuvas Chasam Sofer, we find that the Chasam Sofer was very careful, b'chlal, not to mix Kabbalah and Halacha. And in various Shuvas, the Chasam Sofer makes his opinion clear that even when Kabbalah adds to Halacha or supplements Halacha, Kabbalah is for the very few. For those Oivdei Hashem that are into Kizvei Ha'ari, and their Mekadesh in the Tahir Atzmam, Halacha is not for the Kabbalah is not for the masses. Shuvas Chasam Sofer Achaim Simakuf, the Chasam Sofer deals with the Mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, and the Chasam Sofer makes his opinion clear that this Mitzvah doesn't apply only when a person is really interested in consuming those eggs or those little chicklets. But if he doesn't want to eat those little birds or the eggs, then there is no mitzvah whatsoever to disrupt the harmony of that little family and send away the mother. However, the Chasam Sofer makes it clear, quotes the Chavetz Chaim, that according to the Zohar, there always is a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKiyah, and even when a person is not interested in eating those little birds or eggs, because the understanding that the Zohar offers in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKiyah is Knesset Yisrael Yoyna Imsol. Knesset Yisrael, in allegory, is like a dove. And when we send away the mother, and the mother has tsar, and she longs for her children, we are ma'oder the tsar of the Shechino. Nevertheless, the Chasam Sofer says, we cannot impose the standards or the rulings of the Zohar on the masses, and therefore there is no mitzvah. In a similar vein, the Chasam Sofer writes in Shuvas Eben Ezech Chelek Beis Mepei Beis regarding mitzvahs chalitza. Is chalitza a matir or a mitzvah? The case was an elderly lady that had no interest in getting married. She had no children from her husband. The husband passed away. Does she need to take chalitza? And the Chasam Sofer writes, I am aware of the Zohar. According to the Zohar, the nefesh of the meis has no menucha in the kever until his wife gets chalitza. But the Chasam Sofer says we cannot impose Kabbalistic ideas on the masses, and therefore this woman, if she doesn't feel like it, she does not need to get chalitz. The Chasam Sofer in Orach Chaim Siman Nun Aleph writes an interesting saying, a proverb that he used to say, and he says, those that mix Kabbalah into Halacha are over on Zriyas Kilayim, and those that mix philosophy into Halacha are over on Loisachros B'shor V'chamo Yachdov. So this saying, quoted by the Chasam Sofer himself from Orach Chaim Siman Nun Aleph, reflects the general approach of the Chasam Sofer. Halacha and Kabbalah are two different areas of Torah, and they should not be confused. That is somewhat different than what we learn in the Mishnah Berurah, as I quoted from Siman Chof Hei. The Radbaz, 400 years ago, one of the major poskim, one of the major mekubalim. The Radbaz wrote a sefer Metzudas David, in which he elaborates on Tameh HaMitzvahs B'Derech HaKabbalah. The Radbaz, Chelek Dalad, in two different shuvis, gives his approach, which coincides with the Knesset HaGdayla quoted by the Mishneh Berurah in Siman Lamed Vav. The Radbaz deals with the minig of many people putting on tefillin at home, going to shul, and only in shul they put on the talas gadol, tefillin before tzitzis. The Radbaz writes that this minig has a source in Divrei HaKabbalah, according to Halacha, one should put on tzitzis before tefillin, but nevertheless, so the Radbaz writes, when there is a contradiction between Halacha and Kabbalah, Halacha always has the upper hand. But in this case, there is no clear contradiction, and therefore, one could conduct his affairs according to the Kabbalah, and he explains the meaning of those that put on tefillin before talas gadol. In that same chelek, chelek dalet simen pei, we find another tshuva in the Radbaz, explaining a minig we are all familiar with, but most of us don't know the source of this minig. Musaf Rosh Chodesh, we take off our tefillin before tefillas ha-musaf. This minig has no halachic explanation. It is based on Kabbalah, and once again, the Radbaz writes, when there is no contradiction between halacha and Kabbalah, I definitely accept the Kabbalistic rulings and teachings. So the Chasam Sofer says, one might argue that in this case there is a clear contradiction between Halacha and Kabbalah, because of Pialacha one should wear tefillin all day. However, the Radbaz comments, well, basically that is true, but nevertheless our minig is not to wear tefillin all day, and therefore not wearing tefillin anyway, so the question is taking off our tefillin 15 minutes earlier or 15 minutes later, therefore it is justified to take off our tefillin before tefillas musaf, because that is what we've got to do alpi Kabbalah. We all know that more than any other individual, the Ari HaKadosh Rabbi Yitzchok Luria Ashkenazi, 400 years ago, more than 400 years ago, was the greatest Baal Kabbalah in the entire Tkufa of the Achronim, and probably contributed more than anyone else in history to the dissemination of Kabbalah in Klal Yisrael. But what people don't really know, that the one that contributed more than anyone else, bringing halacha, bringing Kabbalah into the realm of halacha, is the Beis Yosef and not Dari. Because Dari was not considered in his time or in later generations a major halachic authority. Beis Yosef was first and foremost between those that gave us the entire structure of halacha in his Shulchan Aruch, and the Beis Yosef, more than all his predecessors, more than any other major poysik, brings Kabbalah into the castle, into the palace of halacha, in a most dignified and glorified manner. And there are more than 100 sources in the Beis Yosef in which the Beis Yosef quotes the Zohar and other Kabbalah authorities. We will not go through them all, but maybe the really significant ones. There are about 6 or 7 passages in Hilchos Tefillin in which the Beis Yosef bases his rulings on the Zohar and other Kabbalistic sources. We will go through them briefly, and we will deal especially with 1 or 2 more significant sources. So in Simen Chof Hei, the Beis Yosef deals with precisely the question I quoted from the Radbaz a few minutes ago. What comes first? Tefillin or Tzitzis? Obviously, the Beis Yosef says, according to halachic definition, Tzitzis should come before Tefillin for 2 reasons. Todiyah v'she'enay todiyah todiyah koidim. Tzitzis is more todiyah than Tefillin because Tzitzis is noyek Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Tefillin not. Tzitzis is also mekudesh, because about tzitzis, Chazal say shkula mitzvah tzitzis keneged kol mitzvah shebetorah. We do not find a similar statement regarding tefillin. However, according to the Zohar, and the Beis Yosef quotes the Zohar, one should not put on tzitzis before tefillin. And therefore, the Beis Yosef makes somewhat of a compromise in Siman Chofei, and he says talas kotin first, tefillin second, talas gadol after tefillin. So this is a ruling we find in the Shulchan Aruch based entirely on the Zohar. In that same siman that Amu quotes, that al pi Kabbalah one should put on tefillin shel Rabbi Yeshiva, tefillin shel Rosh be'amida, that is based on the Zohar. That Amu writes, our minag is, minag Ashkenaz, to put them both on be'amida. However, most of you probably know that the Sephardim do according to the Ari, according to the Mekubalim. Tefillin shel Yad they put on the Yeshiva, and then they stand up. Tefillin shel Rosh they put on the Amida. This is not quoted by the Beis Yosef, but rather by the Ramo. But it is another case in which the halacha in Hilchos Tefillin is based on Kabbalah. The Beis Yosef deals with the big machlokes between the Rishonim, whether we make 2 brachas on Tefillin shel Yad and Tefillin shel Rosh, or 1 bracha. According to the Rambam, 1 bracha. Many Baalei HaTosfos feel 2 brachas. The Beis Yosef also quotes the Zohar. According to Zohar, only 1 bracha. And the Beis Yosef uses the Zohar to be machriya, kishitas Rambam, and he paskins only 1 bracha. Here again, the Ramo paskins. Usually the Ramo is less excited about Kabbalistic rulings than the Beis Yosef. The Ramo paskins 2 brachas, kedas Baalei HaTosfos, and not 1 bracha, kishitas HaBeis Yosef. Simen Chof Zayin, Siv Beis, we find it in the Shulchan Aruch. The Yud of the Shalyad, the Kesher of the Shalyad is like a Yud, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, it should not move. It should not move away from the Tefillah. This, once again, is a halacha that has no halachic rationale, based entirely on the Zohar quoted by the Beis Yosef. Simen Lamed Beis, Sif Mem Dalet. This is halacha number 5 regarding Hilchos Tefillin. The Sar, in which we wrap the parashiyos, mixes a Sar, Tzorech Lehirois Machutz Lebayis. Once again, based on the Zohar. Source number 6 is probably the most significant of the various and many sources regarding Hilchos Tefillin. The Beis Yosef brings the big controversy, the Machlokes Lashonim, whether we do put on Tefillin Chol HaMoed or we don't. And the Beis Yosef rules based on the Zohar. According to the Zohar, one should not put on Tefillin Chalamoid. According to the Zohar, it's a big Avera. And therefore, the Beis Yosef writes that because there is no clear-cut verdict in the Gemara, therefore, the Zohar reigns supreme, and we should not put on Tefillin Chalamoid. And as it's all the minig is in accordance to the tzak of the Beis Yosef, and no one puts on Tefillin Chalamoid. I know that in Chutz Laaretz there are different minhagim. Chassidim do not put on Tefillin because Chassidim are more accustomed to accept Kabbalistic rulings. Ashkenazim, the Litvish Olam, does put on Tefillin, but the Beis Yosef paskens in accordance to the Zohar, one should not put on Tefillin Chalamoid. Well, the question here would be, isn't this a case in which Kabbalah overrides Halacha? No. I think if we really check out the Knesset Hagdala, which I quoted before in the name of the Mishneh Berurah, Halacha overrides Kabbalah, and therefore Divrei HaPoskim come before Divrei HaMekubalim. Gemara overrides Zohar. However, the Zohar overrides Poskim. The Zohar is Chazal. After all, it is the Torah of Reb Shimon bar Yochai and his great friends. And therefore, the Beis Yosef stresses in Siman Lamed Aleph, we should not put on Tefillin Chalamoid, because the Gemara doesn't deal with this question. It is only the Rishonim. And therefore, the Zohar being far earlier than the Rishonim, B'yamei HaTanoim, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, it is therefore that the Zohar overrides the Poskim. If this would be a Gemara, the Gemara would override the Zohar. If it would be a machlokes between the Ari and the Poskim would override the Ari. But the Beis Yosef emphasizes in Siman Lamed Aleph, being that we do not find a discussion about this issue in the Gemara, only in the Poskim, therefore the Halacha is in accordance to the Zohar. And we find a similar svar in the Beis Yosef in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph. There's a machlokes in the Poskim when a person is oiled the Torah, whether he has to read together with a Bal Koyrah or not. So many Poskim say, yes, he should read together with a Bal Koyrah, because if he says the Brocha, it is actually his mitzvah. So the minig is that the Bal Koyrah reads, because some of the people don't know how to read with the Talmud, but one should definitely read together with a Bal Koyrah. However, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Zohar that two people should never read in the Torah together. And the Beis Yosef says one should not read with their Bal Koyrah. And in this case, the Beis Yosef once again emphasizes the above-mentioned rule. Because this is not a discussion in the Gemara, only in the Poskim, in the Rishonim. Therefore, the Zohar should have the upper hand. So the Beis Yosef quotes the same reasoning that he already wrote regarding Tefillin and Chalamoid. So this is a basic rule in the Beis Yosef. Gemara comes before Zohar. Poskim come before Mekubalim. However, the Zohar overrides Poskim. Even though the Poskim deal with the halachic perspective on the Zohar as Kabbalah, but being that the Zohar was B'yamei Chazal, one of the greatest Tanuim, therefore the Zohar will always override Poskim. Siman Mem Vav in Shulchan Aruch, we find another extremely interesting case, which is especially noteworthy. The Mechaber writes in Siman Mem Vav Sivav that there are some people that in Birchas HaShachar say the Brocha Hanoisel Yov Koyach B'Shem V'Malchus, and one should not do that because this is a Brocha we do not find in the Gemara. The other Brochas in Birchas HaShachar are found in the Gemara, but in the Gemara we do not find Hanoisel Yov Koyach, and therefore it is a mistake. That is what the Beis Yosef writes, and that is what he also writes in the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Ramah brings that our Minig Ashkenaz is yes, to say this Brocha with Shem HaMalchus. And it's very interesting, because the one that says one should say this Brocha with Shem HaMalchus is the Ari. So in most cases, the Beis Yosef paskens according to Kabbalah, and the Ramah rejects Kabbalah. In this case, the contrary is what is right. the Bishoyse Freitz, one should not say this Baruch Hashem v'Malchus, meaning Ashkenaz, based on the Ari, is to say with Shem HaMalchus. Well, today, Sfardim also say this Baruch Hashem HaMalchus, v'lo kishitas ha-Bishoyse. So the Berke Yosef, the Chido, writes in Siman Mem Vav, because the Ari said one should say this bracha, the Ari overrides the Bais Yosef. Because if the Bais Yosef would know the Ari and his ruling, the Bais Yosef definitely would accept, bow down to the psak of the Ari. That's what the Berke Yosef writes. And the Kaf HaChaim is one of those Sephardi Gedolim who maintains that the Ari always overrides the Bais Yosef. Some of the later Sephardi Gedolim had that opinion, primarily the Kaf HaChaim and the Ben Ish Chai. In our time, Hagaon HaRav Ovadia Yosef, one of his strong arguments against the Ben Ish Chai is, according to the Yabir Omer, to HaRav Ovadia Yosef, Halacha overrides Kabbalah, but the Kaf HaChaim, Siman Mem Vav, Sif Kotin Tet Zayin, totally accepts and embraces the svara of the Chida, and therefore our minig is to say Anos on Yerov Koyach. The Knesset HaGdoila quotes one of the Gedoilim of that era, who testifies that the Bishoyse of B'Sof Yom of Chaza Aboi, and he himself said Anos on Yerov Koyach B'Shem V'Malchus. I have difficulty in understanding such a testimony, because if the Bais Yosef would retract, why didn't he write it in the Bais Yosef? The Bais Yosef was printed within the lifetime of the Mechaber, so why wouldn't we find this in the Bais Yosef or in the Shulchan Aruch if he actually regretted and retracted what he wrote? But anyway, this is one of those cases in which the halacha is according to the Kabbalah against the shita of the Bais Yosef, which is very interesting. So the Chido says, if the Bais Yosef would know the Ari, he would bow down and be mevatel da'atoi. We find a similar expression in the Bais Yosef himself regarding the Poskim. In Evin Ezer, there's a very interesting passage. In Evin Ezer, Simchof Aleph, the Bais Yosef quotes Balei HaTosfos, Yevam Islamed Daled, that in certain circumstances what could be make an Aitzoros Erev Avatola, and the Bais Yosef writes, if the Balei HaTosfos would see the Zohar and how the Zohar is machmir regarding Aitzoros Erev Avatola, they definitely would retract and they would not be makel. So we find in the Bais Yosef himself a similar argument. If the Balei Halacha would be aware of this Zohar, they wouldn't say what they said. However, I think that Bais Yosef is totally in accordance to his general opinion. The Zohar overrides Balei HaTosfos, but the argument of the Chido that the Bais Yosef would bow down and accept the ruling of the Ari, well, one could argue, how would the Chido know? They were in the same generation. So the argument of the Chido is a very interesting one, and not all later Poskim accept that basic approach. I mentioned before there are many halachas and hilchos tefillin which are based on the Zohar, on the Kabbalah, and I think we mentioned 6 or 7 of those halachas. I also have a feeling that many halachas and hilchos tefillin are based on Kabbalah. We mentioned one, Siman Mem Vav, regarding Hanos on Yerov Koyach. In Siman Nun, we find a minig before Baruch Shomer, we say twice, Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimlech Le'olavod. Why do we say this twice? Bais Yosef quotes Ezayah, and this has become standard practice and custom. That is the minig of Kol Beis Yisrael. In Siman Nun Tes, the Bais Yosef brings a machloikis, whether a Yochid says Kiddushas Yoitza, and also Kiddusha Desidra. Most of the Poskim feel, yes, a Yochid should say Kiddusha, not in the Shemoneh Esrei, but definitely in Berachas Yoitza and in Yevorot Tzion. However, the Bishayisev is Mechri according to the Zohar, a Yochid should not say Kedushas Yoitzer. And therefore, as a compromise, the Bishayisev writes, maybe Kedushas Yoitzer, which is, should be said with Tamim and with Negina. So we do see various halachas and halachas Tfilah which are based on Kabbalah. I didn't even mention the minhag that every Jewish child knows. When you get up in the morning, you have to do Netilas Yadayim shesh pa'amim, alternating yamin and smal, right, left, right, left, right, left. And this is based on the concept of Ruach Ro. It is brought in Simin Dalet in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, and this is also a minhag which has no halachic basis or rationale, totally based on Divrei Kabbalah. All the sources and principles I've mentioned up to this moment are in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. And I feel, libi oimeli, that in Seder Huavoida and Seder Ayam, Kabbalah probably has special significance. Because it is all based on Pnimius, and therefore regarding Kilchus Tefillin, regarding Kilchus Tefillah, probably Kabbalah has special weight and special significance. However, we do find halachas also in other areas of Torah which are based on Divrei Kabbalah. I want to give just merely, very briefly, a few examples from Yeridaya. One is regarding Hilchus Basar B'Chalav, a halacha that we find twice, Yeridaya Simen Pei Tes and Orachaim Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel. As we all know, if you wait Milachiks, you have to wait 6 hours until you can eat Fleishiks. Some congregations, some Kehillas Yisrael waited 3 hours, 1 hour, the various minhagim. We're not going to get into this today. But when you wait cheese or milk, if you wash your mouth, hadocha, shtifa, then you could eat fleishik right away. However, the Bishayisev brings that there are machmirim that do not eat milk products and meat in the same suda, even though we ate cheese or milk first and basar second. And this is also a halacha which is entirely based on the Zohar. The Bishayisev does not bring this Zohar in Yeridaya Pei Tes, but he does quote him in Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel. A very interesting example, I find it extremely interesting, is the machlokes between the Bishayisev and the Ramo regarding Gid HaNosha. So the halacha is Gid HaNosha is also ba'achila mutar b'hanoah. This is a machlokes in the Gemara, and the halacha is, in accordance to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Gid HaNosha also ba'achila mutar b'hanoah. That is the psak of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Bishayisev in Yeridaya Simen Samach Hei writes that even though, according to Halacha Gid HaNosha is mutar b'hanoah, one should keep away from dealing with Gid HaNosha, not even selling Gid HaNosha, because in the Zohar it seems to be clear that Gid HaNosha is not only osur b'achila, it is also osur b'hanoah. However, the Ramo seems baffled by this psak or this recommendation of the Bishayisev. And the Ramo comments, well, in Psachim Chof Beis Omed Aleph, we learn that this question is Gid HaNosha Osur B'hanoah, Mutar B'hanoah, is a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon. Reb Shimon Osir, Gid HaNosha B'hanoah, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, and the halacha is in accordance to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Ramo remarks, what difference would it make that the Zohar says Gid HaNosha is also b'hanoah? That is the shit of Reb Shimon and Bavli as well. Psachim Chov Beis Omed Aleph. So why would it make a difference that it's also in the Zohar? Well, the Zohar is Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says the same in Psachim. And regarding this machlokes, halacha is in accordance to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and not according to Reb Shimon. So why would it make a difference that it's once again stated in the Zohar? That is the comment of the Ramo. I once heard a very interesting comment in the name of the great Satmar Rabbi Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, Rabbi Yoilish, and he made an interesting comment. Noem Hadvorim Lamisha Amram. So the Satmar Rabbi said this. In the famous story about Reb Shimon and the 12 years he spent in the cave when the Romans were after him, the Gemara says the tremendous his alas Reb Akiva had in those 12 years before he went into the cave. Reb Shimon, as we know, was the son-in-law of the great Tana Reb Pinchas ben Yehuda. And when Reb Shimon asked the Kasha, Reb Pinchas ben Yehuda used to offer 12 tirutzim. When Reb Shimon came out of the cave, every kasha that Reb Pinchas ben Yehuda had, Reb Shimon offered 24 terutzim. So the Satmar Rebbe said this: the machlokes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon regarding Gidur Nashi, the machlokes brought in the Bavli in Psachim Daf Chav Beis, was before Reb Shimon was in the Mara, but after Reb Shimon was in the Mara, and that is where he learned the Zohar, and therefore the Zohar, which was composed and written and compiled after those 12 years, has far more significance than Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, or the Gemara. That is what the Satmar Rebbe suggested. Well, I find it nice, amusing, but I don't think it has any basis, because who said that the Zohar was written after the Mara, and the Mishnah and the Braisa before the Mara? I just want to quote a fascinating line that we find from the Bala Tanya. In the Igeres HaKodesh that's printed in every Tanya, the great Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes that those 12 years that Reb Shimon and Reb Elozar ben Noi were in the Mara, they probably learned Shas and the Sugyas, because the Zohar they could probably finish in Beis or Gimel Chadoshim. How long would it take them to learn the Zohar? 2 or 3 months. I find that a mind-boggling line. The Zohar is the basis of Kabbalah. There is so much to learn in the Zohar. And the Tanya writes, probably for Reb Shimon that would be 2 or 3 months. So the 12 years he spent in the Mara was dedicated to Nigla, to the Sugyas, to the Tzayis, to the Zivis, I don't know to what. But nevertheless, I don't think there's any source in Chazal that the Zohar was written after those 12 years, the Mishnah and the Braisa before. So how do we understand the argument of the B'Syosef? I think it is very simple. It seems to me to be so simple that I don't really understand the Ramos argument. The B'Syosef writes, after all, the Machlokes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon is a Machlokes that is based on halachic rationale and argumentation. And in halacha, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, halachic Reb Yehuda. However, being that the Zohar also says Gidur Nashi Osa Banua, obviously there are different reasons, a different set of rules, a different approach, and a different rationale. Al pi Kabbalah to Asa Gidur Nashi Osa Banua, and therefore, because Kabbalah has such unique significance in the teaching of the B'Syosef, therefore the B'Syosef says one should keep away from Hanoah's Gidur Nashi Osa. I just want to make a point. The B'Syosef doesn't write, it's not a psak, it's not halachic ruling. He doesn't write the Gidur Nashi Osa Banua, but it is a recommendation. One should not be Nana, because the Zohar also writes Gidur Nashi Osa Banua. True, the Zohar is the Pshimen. But what the point that the B'Syosef is trying to make is, not only from the halachic point of view, but also from the Kabbalah point of view, Gidur Nashi Osa Banua, and therefore this is what we should do. Before ending this year, I just want to make a point of a very interesting and unique approach which Reb Chaim Volozhin and other Talmidim of the Gaon of the great Gaon of Vilna quote in his name. And this basic axiom is brought in Aliyas Eliyahu and also in Keser Roish. Keser Roish is written in the name of Reb Chaim Volozhin in the Mamorim. I think it's Siman Tet Zayin or somewhat in that area. The Gro is quoted as saying, there cannot be a contradiction between Kabbalah and Halacha. There is no contradiction between the Zohar and the Gemara. And whenever we deal with what seems to be a contradiction between the two different approaches, it is only because our lack of understanding either of the halacha or of the Kabbalah. But in reality, in essence, halacha and Kabbalah must go hand in hand, and there could be no contradiction between the two. And based on that, general approach, the Gra usually did not ever reject the Poskim because of Kabbalah ideas. So this is the general approach of the Gra. And one more fascinating source, in which the Beis Yosef and the Gra are, I won't say in combat, but it's a very interesting argumentation, and that is in Eben Ezra, Kuf Samachtes, almost the end of Eben Ezra and Hilchos Chalitza. The Rambam writes that when the woman takes off the shoe of the man who gives Chalitza, the Rambam writes, she throws the shoe to the ground. Mashlicho Oisoi Arzo. And the Noisa Kalim don't bring a source. Where did the Rambam take that aloha? That aloha is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Samachtes, Eben Ezra, Say the Chalitza Sif Nun Gimel. The Tur writes, he doesn't know what the Rambam's source was, and therefore the Tur rejects this aloha. The Beis Yosef comments that the Rambam writes Orch de Milsa. What do you do with the shoe after she takes the shoe off? I mean, she probably throws it to the ground. So the Beis Yosef writes that the Rambam doesn't mean that this is a halacha that must be performed. It's just Orch de Milsa. That's what the Beis Yosef writes. And the Gra comments that it is a zoya, which is very interesting because, as we prove from today's shiur, the Beis Yosef was thoroughly versed in the Zohar. And there are many, many halachos in Shulchan Aruch which are based on the Zohar. But interestingly enough, maybe the Beis Yosef was not aware of this Zohar. And what is even more interesting, the Gra is in Sivkot and Tesvav and Seyed Chalitza. What is even more interesting is that obviously this halacha in the Rambam is based on Kabbalah. You know, there's a big controversy in a machlokes whether Rambam was a mekubal or not. So most chokrim argue that the Rambam was not a mekubal. He wasn't aware of Kabbalah, or for some reason he rejected Kabbalah. The Migdal Ois in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah argues that the Rambam b'Sof Yomav, in his later years, learned Kabbalah and was thoroughly versed in Kabbalah. Rab Gershon Heinech Radzina, the Balat Chedis, wrote a fascinating kuntres in which he tries to prove that the Rambam was a great Makovel. He just didn't want to deal openly with Kabbalistic concepts. And Rab Gershon Heinech brings various lies from the Rambam, and especially from Moira Nevuchim, to prove that the Rambam was engaged in Kabbalah. Some of the arguments of Rav Gershon Heinech are more convincing, some are less convincing, but this is one of the few halachas we find in Rambam which has no halachic source or rationale and must be based on the Zohar. This is the halacha of throwing to the ground the nal, the sandal of Chalitza, which is also quoted, as I said, Eben Ezra Siman Kuf Samech Tes Sif Nun Gimel and Seyda Chalitza. So this is what we have to say today about the basic question, the significance of the Zohar and other Kabbalistic sources in Halacha. We are approaching Chag HaShavuos, Yom Kabbalah Sotoyah. And this week's parsha starts in B'chukoy Setelechu Shetihiyu Amelim B'Toyah. Obviously, Omer HaTorah has tremendous significance, not only Talmud Torah. And many times I quoted what we find in Yerushalmi at least five times. Shviyas Dav Beis, Peyed Dav Gimel, Sukkot Tet Zayin, I think, Shabbos Yud Aleph, Ksubis Nun Aleph, many times in Yerushalmi. A person is mekayem the mitzvah of Talmud Torah with any degree of study. The Gemara says twice in Shas, Nedorim Daf Ches, and Menachos Daf Tzadik Tes. Afilu lo kore la posek echad shachris, posek echad arvis, kiyem et mitzvah, lo yomer sefer haTorah hazeh mepicho v'hagiso b'yomam v'layla. However, that is not called chiyus of Torah. To live a life of Torah, Torah should become essentially part of us. We must breathe Torah, and that is something that could be achieved only by Amal, only by Yegia. Emosa hi chayechem bezman sha'atem yegeyem bo. How do we define Yegias HaTorah? Yegias HaTorah Mahi? Well, I do not recall a statement in Bavli which is the same as the Yerushalmi. Emosa hi chayechem bezman sha'atem yegeyem bo. But there is something similar. If not exactly the same, but definitely similar. Definitely resembling what we find in the Yerushalmi. And that is the Gemara in Shabbos. Sam chayim hi lemiyaminim bo. Miyaminim bo. Miyaminim is loshen yimin. Right. Sam chayim hi lemiyaminim bo. Lemas me'ilim bo. Chas v'sholem lehefech. The Torah is sam hamoves lemas me'ilim bo. That is a Gemara that we find in Shabbos. How do we define Miyaminim Bo? Who are those that are Miyaminim Bo? And who are those that are Masme'ilim Bo? Rashi writes, Lemiyaminim Bo, Asukim Bo Bekol Koichom Vitrudim Lodat Soido. Shnei Ponim Ba'omala Toira. Asukim Bo Bekol Koichom Vitrudim Ledat Soida. Obviously, the Miyaminim dedicate all their energies and their strength and their koyach to Talmud Torah. You have to learn all the time you've got, but it is also something, an intellectual endeavor. It's not only time, it's not only koyach saguf, but also koyach sanefesh. Asukam baba kol koyachum vitrudim ledat soida. And this Ma'amar in the Bavli is similar to the Yerushalmi. I quoted the Yerushalmi five different sources. In the Bavli, it's Shabbos Peches on the base. Sam Chayim lemiyaminim. Like the Yerushalmi says, Emosahi Chayechem, Bezman Shatem Yegeyem Bo. So I think Rashi actually defines what is Yegeyas HaTorah. On one hand, Asukum Babakol Koichom. On the other hand, Trudim Ledaat Soda. Dveikus in Torah, the never-ending quest of understanding, of appreciating, of really delving into the depths of Torah. But whenever I speak about Yegias HaTorah, I always quote the beautiful Loshon of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah Perek Daled Masechet Tovos, Kishe'ato Misyageya BeTorah Tishtasheya Bo. Shashua is translated as pleasure. Kishe'ato misyageya betorah tishtasheya bo. Shenemar ayes leyomoyim shashua v'yom yoyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishtasheya betorah v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosanonu toira she'onu nishtasheya bo. Omar and Shashua, Yegia and Shashua go hand in hand. And it is only the combination of the two that could really bring us to great heights in Gadlus B'Torah. There's a story I told many times, a story I witnessed of my great Rebbe, the Kloisenberg Rebbe. There was a very special person living in London before him, Zalman Margolyes. He was extremely close to the Kloisenberg Rebbe, and he was a tremendous Baal Chesed. I loved him, he loved me. He was a very special person. And when I gave a hesped on Rabbi Chaim Zalman, I said, normal mortals are made of many organs. We have minds, hearts, and many internal organs and external organs, but Rabbi Chaim Zalman was kulei lev, one big heart. And I remember that once the Kloisenberg Magadabi told Mr. Margolyes, I have something extremely important to discuss with you. I want you to come Monday night at 9 o'clock Mr. Margolyes said, it's impossible because I have a flight at 12. And usually when the Kloizenberg Rebbe said 9, it was either 11 or 12. He was never punctual dealing with time. But this time the Kloizenberg Rebbe says, I know that you have to leave, but it's extremely important that we meet. So please, I promise I'll be ready 9 o'clock. Naturally, Rebbe Freim Zalman Margolyes comes at 9 o'clock. He wants to go into the Rebbe, and the Gabbe says, no, he's in the middle of a shiur. So Mr. Margolyes says, how is it possible? You know, he told me, he knows that I have a flight, I gotta be leaving, he told me he's gonna be ready at 9. The Gabbe says, how would I know? This is a question you gotta ask the Rebbe. 9:45, the shiur was over. I was one of the boys, one of the bochurim participating in that shiur. Mr. Margolyes comes in, and the Rebbe apologizes, and he says, the great Kloizenberg Rebbe, I promise to be available at 9 o'clock, but I had such a terrible, excruciating headache, Chogemeintach Geistarm. In Yiddish, he said, I thought I'm going to die. I took medication, I did everything, nothing helped. I had no other option but to call the bochurim and to learn with him. When he learned Torah, you could actually see that he was transformed into Olam Esrayonim, different realms of existence. The Torah filled him with Simcha, Torah gave him Koyach, and that is what Chazal meant when they said, Kihi Chayechem Ve'orach Yameichem, as the Pasuk says in Birchas Kriya Shema, we say, Kihim Chayeinu Ve'orach Yameinu, Eimos Lahi Chayechem Bezman Shatem Yegeim Bo. And those great Gedolim, who knew what Yegiyas HaTorah means and what Shashua Shal Torah means. Their Dveikus B'Torah was so sublime at such a tremendous madrega that they really were transformed, and they got koiches, supernatural koiches that they derived from Torah. So approaching the great day of Kabbalah HaTorah, Chag HaShavuos, let us all take upon ourselves to be dovek in Torah, Yageya b'Torah and Mishtasheya b'Divrei Torah. And the Torah should be Megin, we should all know Sosoin v'Simcha and B'Soyres Toivis. We should all be Zoicha to be as Goyal Tzedek v'Simchas Olam Aloysham b'Meherav Yomeinu Amen.